The wisdom of Kabbalah is not a wisdom that comes from one's thoughts. That is disconnected from reality. All in all, a person who investigated reality, Adam Rishon investigated reality, reached a state in which he revealed the reality, which is revealed above our senses, above our five senses, and we call his revelation the wisdom of Kabbalah. And we have examples from Abraham that began asking the questions of where am I coming from, why do I wander here from one place to the next, why do we have the sun and the moon and the stars, what is this world, why do we need this world for, who am I in this world? This is the way the Midrash is telling us, that he began asking those questions, even though they previously used to think that the world is nature, is the nature, the regular nature we know, and the way we relate to it. And the second example after Abraham is Moses, that also didn't excel in anything. People say that he was educated in the house of Pharaoh, and probably was educated in the same education that they used to be educated with in this palace, and he was a prince. He was beloved by the daughter of Pharaoh. She loved him, and a lot of Midrashim speak about the way he used to behave in the house, like a child, like a baby, like a boy. He was given everything that deserved prince. And again, how was the Creator revealed to him? When he ran away from Pharaoh's house, when he felt that he's unable to be there anymore, just like Abraham ran away from his father, from Terach, that he felt that he cannot be in this frame of looking upon life in such a materialized way. He felt in like actually being in a prison, he ran away from it. And then, from within his questions, from within this frustration, the upper nature was revealed, the upper force. And this is the way it happened with Abraham and Moses. This is the way they revealed what is there behind nature. And then, from within the revelation, and the fact that the others did the same, by their help, by using their advices and counsels, reached the revelation of the upper nature. And this is what they're speaking about and telling us about. Meaning the wisdom of Kabbalah can be revealed towards each and every individual in a natural way. Even that the human being does not use the books and does not learn and does not join a sage. But one has a moment in which he receives an urge to ask this question of what is the meaning of my life, what do I live for, and then from within this question he might reveal the upper reality. The upper reality might be revealed to him. And then from this attainment, he understands why and what for, why is everything built the way it is built, what is his duty, what is the right perception of reality, and so on. And just like we we've already said, it's like we've read a few words from the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah. So what he says in the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah, it says that it is an order of roots which are being revealed to the human being as coming down from above downwards regarding the human being, to give the human being an opportunity to, by the help of those roots, by the help of those forces, they give them the opportunity to reveal the upper force, to unite with this upper force, and to reach the complete and eternal degree, to rise above the nature one now, the one feels, and to unite with the upper nature. And Baha'u'llah Sallam says that there's an individual in the collective, that the individuals are the ones, are those special souls. When suddenly a great desire is revealed inside a person and he bursts through the material and attains the strength, the attributes which are found to be inside the material. And these are the great Kabbalists, our ancestors of the nation, Abraham, Moses, Rashbi, the Ari. And there is the collective, which is completely different from the individuals. When he's saying that the entire humanity will initially reach the attainment and realization and the highest degree of nature called the world of Insof, everyone will reach it. And if so, then it is very interesting to know why our history is so, we don't understand our history. It is so ununderstandable. It is so complex, so confusing us. How can we see that actually and truly the roots, just like the Kabbalists are telling us, are gradually being revealed in this world and initially bring one and each and every individual and the whole of humanity to ask this question about the meaning of life, about the purpose of life, and then initially we'll be able to ascend towards this degree of existence in sublime upper life. So how does it happen during history? And here they prepared a special chart for me, by the help of which we will try to speak about this chart a bit. Maybe we'll repeat this chart in our next conversations, and we'll speak more about it as much as we'll be able to gather to collect more knowledge, and we'll be able to connect it together so we'll have a complete whole science. Then the development of this world from above downward, from below upward, we will know everything and it will be clearer and clearer to us. Then we'll be able to delve more into this chart. You don't see the chart, right? No, let's hope that they will be able to. No. Also, not good enough. Well, then, to say the truth, I will just speak about it, and we'll just speak about it. It is really not enough. No. For the spectators, the one who watch our lesson, we will give this chart. We'll place it later in our site, in the site that is listed below, karma.kabbalah.info. karma.kabbalah.info, and then you'll be able to download this chart and to have it. So we learn, those of Kabbalah, we learn, well, in general, everything Kabbalists had revealed is that all in all we have a desire to receive. The matter or the material of creation is all in all the desire to receive. And this will to receive has 5 degrees of aviut, 5 degrees of desire, of amount of desire. There are greater and greater desires up to the 5th degree, which is the highermost degree. There is a desire, and we draw it as a kli, as a vessel. It has 5 degrees of youth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes? Shorish, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. This is the way we state that those degrees are the degrees that exist. Now, those degrees have to initially change their nature, to correct their nature from the nature of reception to bestowal. And in order to cross, to pass this process, that this process was built in the beginning, and then the Kali goes through this process. Now, who determined this process? The process is determined from the beginning. It's predetermined by nature itself. By nature itself, and nature, and the nature is a complete bestowal. And we reveal, just like Kabbalists tell us, that the upper light, or the nature, or the creator is complete bestowal. His only desire is to give. He is the giver. And this giver, from within the fact that he is a giver, from he is creating a desire to receive. He is creating a receiver. And he can give this receiver. The greatest thing that he can give to this giver is the degree of the giver himself. Meaning the giver has to, according to his relation and love towards the receiver, he has to bring the receiver to the same state in which the giver is found to be in. There is nothing holier, greater than this state, because only the giver, only the one who gives, only the one who is able to give, is found to be in holiness. He has no deficiencies. He has everything. And this is why we have our first law, which is that the giver, the creator, nature, in Gematria Elohim, in numerology, is Elohim, from one hand, has to create a receiver, someone who will be opposite from it, so you will have someone to give to, and secondly, he has to bring this receiver to the equivalence of form with the giver. This equivalence of form with the giver is drawing closer to the giver, adhering to the giver, cleaving onto him, just like with human beings in this world. We have a person, some kind of a person in this world, and there's a second person. Yes? So what is the distance between them both? Between both of them. If we don't measure according to their bodies, but according to the essence of the human being, then we have to take all the attributes of the human being, of this one individual, and all the qualities of the other individual, to make a comparison between the two, and to see and how much the attributes of one of them are similar or alike to the attributes of the other. And then accordingly we can say that both of them are so far, so distant, so separated, so unlike each other. Meaning both, even in our world, when we measure, we do not measure according to the height or according to the color or according to something external. We measure according to the essence of the human being. And we say that they are close or far from each other, according to the way they look upon the world, according to their qualities, according to their habits, according to everything that exists inside them. And then, if their opinions are different, that when 100% of the things that exist inside one individual is completely different from the 100% that exist in the other individual, we say they are completely polar. They are completely different and distant from each other. That there is an infinite gap between the two. Why? We say insof, infinitive gap, infinitive. Because there is no space. There is no connection at all. And if we can say that one and the other are found to be in such a way that, let's say, 90% in one of the individual is like, is just alike 90% in the other, then the gap between them is small. The only thing it separates between the two are those 10%. They separate between them. Or we can say that if one of them and the other is between them, there is only one thing that is mutual, then we can say that they touch each other. And that same one that is mutual between the two. Meaning that there is one opinion in which they are definitely as one. So there's a contact between them. And if there is more than one opinion that is the same, one same opinion, then they as if enter into each other. They have a specific surface upon which they are completely alike. So they can be partners in many things. And if it is found that one is completely like the other, they are completely equal, then both the first and the second are found to be together here. And there is no thing in one of them that might emerge outside that is not found to be in the other. And this scenario is called adhesion. That every part is cleaved onto every part in the other until every part in one becomes exactly like the part, that same part in the other, and they become as one man. And this is the way we speak in spirituality, because in spirituality we don't speak about bodies, we speak about inner qualities, about inner attributes. And the same thing refers to psychology and the relationships between human beings. This, even though it is not spiritual, but only something in our world, but still this is the way we discern closeness or distance. If two people are found to be close in their internality, and even though they're found to be in a distance of close to 1,000 kilometers, they feel close. There are phenomena in which a mother feels that, oh, something is happening with my child somewhere, even though he's physically afar, but she feels inside, she really feels that something, God forbid, is going on with him. So, even in this world, this is the way we measure closeness and remoteness. So the same thing refers to spirituality, because in spirituality we relate to the desires, to the yearnings, the aspirations of human beings. When we speak, when we say that the receiver has to reach that same state, that same situation in which the giver is found to be in, means that we need to, that all of our desire to receive that from the beginning is completely distant from the giver, 100%. These are the qualities or the attributes of the giver, and these are the qualities of the receiver. And they are completely afar from one another, they are completely different, and we can say that they hate each other. This is the way it is called, that they hate each other. Okay, more mistakes. Well, what can we do? I'm completely not built to receive and understand languages. What can I do? So, this is the extent that they are afar from one another, which means that there is no thought and no desire in the creature, in the receiver, in the creature, that resembles that same desire in the Creator completely. There is nothing. So, in the creature, in the state in which he didn't even reach this contact, until he did not reach this contact, he cannot imagine or even think about what is the Creator, what is the upper force, the upper nature, what is bestow. This is the extent he is far and he is unable to imagine anything. What does it mean? Does it mean that the Creator hates us? It is written that the Creator hates the bodies. He hates our external form, shape. What is hatred? Hatred is not like we used to understand this term. Hatred is when there is no contact, there is no closeness. You can say benevolent to the good and to the evil, 1,001 phrases, but we speak in spirituality, when we say the term hatred, we say that hatred is oppositeness between two conditions, and this is hatred. Not like in this world, like when a person hates someone else and wants to harm the other. Not to harm each other, but complete misunderstanding between one and the other. How can you say that the creator does not understand the creature and so on? We does not speak from the side of the creator. We constantly speak from the side of the creature. We always speak about the way we inquire the world. The judge is no more than what his eyes can see. And this is why we speak about the creator from our side, from our behalf, the way we perceive him. When you're praying for him, when you're asking for something, when you want to have to live better or to have something better, then you're as if saying that he is not okay, he's bad, that he harms you, and you want him to improve in his relation to you. This is the way we judge the upper. Everyone who disqualifies does it because of his own flaw. And this is what we see, and this is the way we act. But again, let's return to our drawing. We are obliged by the nature of the giver to be in the nature of reception. This is the first nature we have to be in, and we have to bring this desire to receive to adhesion, to equivalence of form with the giver, to adhesion. But only then we are incorporated with this benevolency, with the good, with the one who is benevolent in an infinitive way. And this is the purpose of creation. So why do we have to go through this entire process? So that we will have the discernments, the observations, so that we will be able, so from this gap between us, from the difference between us, so when we will see how much we are completely different, so we'll be able to learn this infinitive oppositeness between us and understand this infinitive contrast, understand what spirituality is, and to gradually draw closer to it and build our infinite situation by ourselves, to build the best situation by ourselves. And then, except from the fact that the human being is building, creating this complete whole situation, understands this situation, and then he enjoys from it in every desire, every small desire he has. How can we do it? We spoke about it previously, but maybe today we'll speak about it a bit more. It is done in a process which is called the process of the three lines. We call this process the process of the three lines. That from the beginning, to begin with, and it was revealed by Kabbalists. Everything that I'm drawing here was revealed by Kabbalists, and they told us this is the way it is. There is a giver, which is named the Creator, who is building the creature. He is the one that builds this kli, this vessel, kli, and has to remove the vessel from himself to a state in which the kli will completely, will not be able to feel the light, will not be able to feel him, when there is a cutoff, a disconnection between the creator and the creature. And because the creature was created in five parts, it has five parts in the desire to receive. Shorish, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. Unfortunately, I have to draw it in such a small way. So, on each and every part, we have to have a concealment, so that the creature will be completely won't be dependent on the light. Will be independent, and this is why we say that we have five worlds here. The world of Adam Kadmon, the world of Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. And then we find that after all the concealments, we have a point, a spot from which our universe, our material matter was built. And this, let's say, happened 15 milliards of years ago. And after don't know, 12 billion years. The Earth and the Sun and the Polar System and the Earth, let's say, I don't know, 3 milliards of years ago. And then began life upon Earth, like Baha'i Sulam says, that millions of years, those forces of nature will have to arrange between themselves, will have to be arranged between themselves until this land, this membrane will be, this crust will be created, from which the plants will be able to emerge and the animate will multitude and so on. And then, only then, the human being will be born. So we have a geological process here, and here we have the life of the human being upon Earth. First we have the inanimate, then the vegetative life, and the speaking. What was before those 15,000 years, the 15 millions of years before the creation of the world, before those 15 millions of years, there was no substance, no matter, like the matter that exists here in our sensation and perception. I don't want to enter into a state of how does reality look like if there was no attaining, no one who would be able to attain it. We always say that there is no reality without an attainee. So if you're saying that there is some kind of a star there, how do you know that there's a star? Because someone saw it. And if he didn't see it, does the star exist or not? It does not exist. The star exists only regarding to the person that attains it. Our problem is that we can never investigate, inquire, see, or feel something that is not found to be in our attributes, that we do not perceive. And this is why speaking about something that never, no one felt, is speaking without a firm basis. And this is why the wisdom is divided into revealed and concealed. Our reality is divided into things we attain and things we still do not attain. So here we have a question. Are we allowed to speak about the reality that had existed before the human being was created in this world? Because we speak before the human being was formed in this reality, because the entire reality we perceive is perceived by our five senses, because this is the way our senses are built. If I will close my senses, will I be able to perceive something or not? I won't be able to perceive a thing. I won't even feel myself. Disconnect your senses. Let's say theoretically, we're unable to do this, but let's say just theoretically. Disconnect one, two, three senses, but if we will disconnect all of our senses, then the human being will not feel himself, and one does not feel anything that is surrounding him. He doesn't feel a thing. And then the question is, does something exist or not? Regarding the human being, there's nothing. You can say yes, but... And the rest of the people see reality. They perceive it. And they also perceive that same reality, like that disconnected person. And their senses. Let them disconnect their senses. So does reality exist or not? It is unknown. Because everything we feel, the thing that we feel that we exist and the reality exists, we feel it inside our senses. But our senses draw such a reality for us. Me and something outside of me. If I will change my senses, then I will feel a different reality.
We feeling, we're sensing what we only truly developing our organs of senses through the science of Kabbalah. Then only a real picture began to appear. And we will check it later. Well, anyway, I've mentioned a few words. The reception of reality, it wasn't really questioned in relation to men ever. It's all begun from the theory of Newton, who started investigating nature, and he asked himself a question. He asked about the laws of nature. Do they exist by itself or only in relation to men? Before all the scientists agreed that all the existing laws, they exist without participation of men in the universe, in nature. And it's called basically the theory of Newton. And the first time in the history of humanity, this theory, I'm not even mentioning Kabbalists yet in this whole picture. So from the time of Ram, the Kabbalists already disclose a true picture of the disposition of different forces which behind the matter. Newton and all other scientists of the corporeal world, they basically disclose the laws of nature, the material laws. They investigated only matter. Therefore, the theory exists that the world exists by itself. And whether man participated or not, the world exists. So after this, the science developed further. And they came to the conclusion and state that they start to have a doubt. Why? We can see that all kind of animals which have different organs of senses, they perceive reality differently. For example, dogs. Already well known that dogs almost blind. They can't see the picture. But they have a very prominent smell sense. But the color change, the color blindness in dogs, it's well known, for example. So therefore, they probably rather perceive colors through smells. You think that he perceives world less than I am, but no. He instead, dogs checked the whole surrounding through the smell. And that feeling, for example, less restricted maybe than the sight. And we can see further, deeper maybe through the sight, but it's all subjective. So therefore, the smell, this organs of sense help a specific animal called dog to perceive a precise picture of reality needed to exist. So therefore, different animals as well, they accustom, they really adjust itself to the nature through certain organs of senses. Therefore, then if we look at the picture from this point of view, that the theory of relativity is quite true. Of course, everybody, everything, the perception of reality is quite relative, dependent on certain parameters. So, for example, if I change my sight through certain things, let's say in infrared and or ultra-red light, then I can see the different picture. I can see the radio waves, I can see the or infrared waves, so or different temperature waves. So my organs of senses, they really depict the same reality through different parameters. So therefore, we can see that the reality is quite subjective. For example, if we can really study biology, we're going to see the nature through the different parameters of that science. And for example, if we'll see the nature through the other science, then we see the different pictures. So we can see that, it's all relatively related to certain things. So therefore, Einstein says first that reality is quite relative and dependent on parameters toward towards which we relate the picture of nature. So, for example, if we will take a speed of movements, the speed of movements can be changed, and it, of course, the picture of reality dependent on the speed of subject which we investigate. So it's all relative compared to subject. For example, somebody who actually moves with a constant speed, then obviously it appears to us that he's probably just in a state of relaxation. So therefore, we can see that reality is quite a subjective substance. So it's all dependent on organs of senses, it depends on different parameters, it depends on what is inside of me, what's outside of me, and of course the relationship between myself, what's inside of me, and the reality, it's quite subjective. So therefore, the first thing I perceive is external things, and it dependent on whether I participated in it or not. And the second theory is that whatever is outside exists, and it's changed, it can be changed and it's can be changed in relation to the quality which I have, which I possess. And this is the second theory. So I change my quality, and the reality, perception of reality also changes. So therefore, if I change, I can see different things. For example, I can see infra or ultra waves or X-ray, for example, I use, and I can see the different picture of reality. I can see the whole universe and the world through different pictures. What does it mean? Means that everything depends on changes inside of me. So therefore, external things can be changed from internal things. The next theory, for example, let's say it's something outside, and I can feel that outside in relation to how much of an influence I have on this external things. When I don't see anything whatever exists outside in absolute form, for example, completely unrelated and disconnected from me, I can feel it and sense it in my organs of senses, and it can be changed independent of how much of a influence I have, how much of a investigation, how much of a input I have in this external things. And then I can say this is exist or ever were there until I really start to receive and perceive it as investigator. What does it mean? It means that whatever I perceive is in conjunction, in relation between myself and that external object of investigation. So therefore, I can I don't see the world as in first case where we agree that the world exists by itself. No, I see the world independent on how I really, in what I wanted to see in this world. So it's a result of my result of my qualities, and it also depends on what particular parameters the external world exists. So this third theory of Heveret, and there is other intermediate variation exists as well. There's another theory as well, fourth, let's say. There is another theory, it's called the theory which developed by Kabbalists. Kabbalists do not move in relation to the history, and they do not exist inside of matter as well. So therefore, the Kabbalist didn't really restrict themselves by the matter of corporeality. What they really investigated, the matter beyond matter. So they disclosed that there is light. The only light exists, and they call the light which is their creator or giver, that the only force which moves everything, and that force in total calmness, without no changes in it. There is no changes of this force in relation to us, so there is absolute exist down there, up there. And this is what Kabbalists discovered the absolute. And I feel this above worlds in accordance to equivalence of form. Anyway, the scientists also have a drift that that certain things can be only appreciated in accordance to the quality of quantity and quality of features in towards investigated object. For example, my ear can only hear only frequency which is I'm tuning myself into. So therefore, I can hear only sounds. For example, my inside capability from 20 to 20,000 hertz, and from outside, I can pick certain frequency from 20 to 20 hertz, not higher nor lower. So it means that, if, for example, if inside I have some sort of problem and my hearing is actually come down from 50 to 10,000 hertz, then obviously I will think that from outside also there is there are changes and there is no sounds from outside. But it's not true. So it means that this is very subjective. It's also dependent on how much of a ability of my internal organs to perceive external reality. So same pretty much with the sight. Whatever we perceive from outside world dependent on my internal organ of perception, how much my internal organs can really become in the equality of forms with external object. And the same law Kabbalah is telling us that we perceive above world only in accordance with the law of form equivalence of form. And at the beginning I'm completely opposite to the external, to the upper world. I'm a receiver and he's a giver. That's why we don't have equivalence of form between us. So therefore, inside of me, everything is tuned to receive, to receive, and in creator case, everything is bestowal. So therefore, I can't really see him because he is completely concealed, because I'm in total opposition to creator. So what should I do in order to see the upper worlds? To catch it, I have to change my insight. I have to change my forms and become an equivalence of form with Creator. I should become like Creator, to bestow, to give. And then, in accordance of my equivalence of form, how much I change inside, like we draw previously, if I, for example, completely separated here, like in this case, totally different, we don't feel each other, total concealment, we completely opposite in our quality, but when we start to develop a contact, for example, in one point, I corrected one quality in myself, then I start to feel vaguely that it's something else is there, and then I obviously correct myself more and I feel a bigger part of Creator and etc. until I feel and correct my Kli and Creator, and I can feel the Creator in fully developed and corrected Kli. When I change all my reception Kli into develop Master Him and feel all the lights, and at what it says that to feel Creator and unite with Creator fully. Do we have any questions in the audience? Question is, when we, for example, have example of ear, let's say old man who doesn't really have a same hearing, for example, what about memory, for example, if we have problems with some memories, memory, can it be used in example, how can we perceive the reality? Rav says, well, when an old man have problem with hearing, but once again, you know, he had a lot of experiences in life. He heard a lot of things before. He saw a lot of things. Of course, everything is in memory. We will talk about memory one day. It's basically, memory is memory. It's like in computer. It's doesn't really, nothing is disappear. Everything is stored as a storage place. Everything, whatever happened, is stored and doesn't really disappear anywhere. So therefore, whatever information and whatever pictures and impressions were received and stored in memory. For example, I recall certain things which happened 30 years ago, and when all of a sudden I can smell certain things, and I can recall certain picture from 30 years, today, for example, I'm an old man, and I really don't see, don't smell, don't hear certain things. One of a sudden I remember things, and I precisely, acutely remember certain episodes from my childhood, and I can smell and see and hear a picture of 30 years behind. So therefore, this picture precisely recorded in my memory. And of course, we already, scientists know that picture can be really recreated in a variety of senses from memory, and for example, some components from this particular picture can be really obtained from your memory and processed to a different degree. For example, there is a certain technique and etc. how to use our memory in order to manipulate reality and etc. Anyway, we don't really need it. So from all our organs of senses, from all this database of perceived life, everything stored in memory, therefore an old age which basically weakens our memory influences the reality perceived by man, and then start to comprehend reality with this differently. Of course, he could not, for example, bring certain pictures from his memory. He looked at certain things that appeared new to him, and from one moment to another moment, if he lost the memory, he doesn't really see certain things. It basically happened only because he could not retrieve needed information from the memory because of old age. In spirituality, we study everything from ourselves, from our own experience, and of course, on contrary, we develop our senses more and more, and we start to use our organs of senses to extra degrees. We, in fact, obtain higher senses, the sixth sense. So therefore, all our five senses become not so prominent because we're obtaining a new quality beyond our corporal feelings and corporal senses. So that's why we are choosing this organ of senses forever and don't really care for all the corporal five organs of senses to the extent that the body can die and we wouldn't really care about it. The question is, the investigator who study the upper world, he comes to the theory of what the science which investigates the nature, investigate nature through five organs of senses and different mechanisms. They don't investigate upper walls through the point in the heart. They don't investigate the upper reality. They investigate the corporeal reality through five organs of senses and related different appliances. As we said here, for example, when Creator made the kli, it's called first kli called Adam Rishon. And in this kli, all the souls exist, and we all exist in this kli as elements. And each of these parts is represented desire or neshama, soul.
Arazon,
the desire which was like a giver in its essence, in its nature. Now, after a certain period of time, those desires, when they lost the equivalence of form with the giver, they become egoistic. From altruistic initially, they become egoistic after dissension. And those egoistic desires, we have five organs of senses in this world. And then, obviously, we investigate through these five organs of senses and the brain, intellect, the reality which felt in these five organs of senses through feeling and brain and intellect, whatever man is has disclosing through these five organs of senses is basically dependent and really represent only partial part of this desire which left from the dot from above, and that point and basically represent something else, not from this world. And when this point start to become prominent inside of man, and he really start to look for something out of this world, and if he start to investigate further the reality from this point inside of himself, he become a Kabbalist. But if he really concentrate to investigate reality from only based on five organ senses, he become a scientist of corporate world or person who is seeking knowledge. And that's why a lot of crisis today in today's world exists in all kind of direction. Whatever we can choose branch of scientists, there is a deficit. There is a crisis because there is no fulfillment, not completeness in this investigation. And that incompleteness lead man to the point in the heart that finally, after all the scientists and all the science, after all the knowledge, he start to strive to open the essence of everything, the root of all things. He become a Kabbalist. So, Kabbalist. Does Kabbalist comprehend the point at the beginning of all the creation? Rav says that at the beginning, we need to all come back to the level of giver. It means that we need to attain the level of giver completely. Not only the point from which we are born, we came from. We need to comprehend and attain the thought of Creator, which was before our birth, which was precipitated our coming into this existence. It means that we need to join and unite with the thought of Creator, to attain and comprehend Creator in his thought. And the man comes to it through inner changes. He through his efforts, through his freedom of choice, as we mentioned before, he coming by himself through all his efforts, when he teaching his nature to become like nature of Creator, through obtaining the nature of the giver, Creator, something which we call he corrects his nature, he obtains intellect of Creator, a thought of Creator, Machshavata Briya, the purpose of Creator, of creation. Not that men only ascend to the upper levels and become, let's say, better levels. It's not better exactly. He become not restricted by anything. He become like a force which created it, completely infinite in his perception. If Kabbalists are asking that the only light exists in upper worlds, then why I now wanted to be somewhere in Spain, and then in my thoughts I feel a different picture. For example, you say that there is light exists around me, and this light is a lot of possibilities, and all kind of whatever pictures of the world exist, they're there. And it's all dependent on me. I can just switch myself, tune myself into some sort of picture, and the whole thing, the whole reality will be changed, and I feel a different reality. So it means that if I'll take different kilim, I can make a composition of those kilim and lights, and from this composition I can be in many places, in many reality, whatever I wanted to be. Yes, that's right. Of course, there is no problem in that. Of course, but we need to know how to do it. You say that some sort of, once again, you're talking about corporal feelings, Spain from a egoistic point of view, and if you or you're talking about spiritual feeling, Keter Chochma, Zerampin and Malchut, with the desire, with Masach and Masachim. What are you talking about? You're talking about physical reality, egoistic reality. In which reality you want to move? In our organs of senses, in material organs of senses, you couldn't move. You can't change anything now. For example, you can't just I can't tune my five organs of senses in such a way that I feel and see the different picture. I can't change them. These organs of senses, they are set, they are steel, they can be corrected. Even if I would be the biggest Kabbalist ever existed, I can't change those five organs of senses. Of course, if I'll be old, I'll probably lose my hearing and the sight, maybe. But in spiritual kilim, I can see from one side of the world to the other world. Five organs of senses of corporate world, they steal level, they can be changed, they set parameters. I can only extend certain parameters, for example, like through the x-rays and ultra waves, etc. It doesn't matter how clever I am, I can't change things in corporal reality. So Iran asks, so if I can change myself, where does it come from? Rav says that you can only change what you can change. You can't change your corporal qualities. You can't change your corporal nature. Your egoistic nature can be changed. It can be corrected. What can be corrected and what we can do is to develop the point in the heart, that point which has come from above inside in the heart, and that what is we need to develop. We need to develop the kli above that point in the heart. This is kli. This kli exists already. And I came from that kli. I receive a small little part of that kli, the point in the heart, and gradually I develop that point, bringing back to the initial kli. Become an equivalence of form. It was deliberately descended to the level here from above down and presented as a point, so I can really start gradually ascend and become like a giver, and that where is change is possible. In five organs of senses we can change anything, and we'll continue our discussion tomorrow. We're wishing everybody a good day.